Now, younger generation, let me just tell you what. The older generation misses the hymn books because, not because they just like to have it closer to them, because God used a lot of those songs very powerfully in their lives. And so those books mean a lot because they were associated with some pretty powerful God experiences. And please turn with me to number 566. Friday morning, the Lord woke me up. And I felt like I could hear his voice speaking so very closely. And it's these words. Look at this first verse. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord, I know, ruleth o'er everything, and all my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, I'm safe from all harm in his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith, and I fear no alarm. We do not need to worry about things. We do not need to worry about our job or money. We do not need to worry about politics or elections or what could happen, because there is one that is greater than all of those things. And he is the Lord our God. And really, the way to approach all the situations that you have to face in life, business decisions, marriage decisions, family decisions, political decisions, the way you need to approach all those things is starting off with the foundation of your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you establish that foundation, then you are in a position to approach and deal with those all those other things, because that is the foundation of your life. And we as Christians, we need to trust God. And we need to look to him first. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies, for the Master looks on at the strife. And the tempest may blow. And I'm not just talking about storms outside. Sometimes the storms that blow are different types of storms. I think in our country, prior to the Civil War, things were very contentious in our country. And when you think about the Civil War, something to think about is ask yourself the question, how mad do you have to be with someone that you are mad enough to kill them? And what happened in our country is we had a country where one side was mad enough at the other to kill the other. The big issue was the issue of slavery. And one side's like, we have to pay whatever price needs to be paid to get rid of this because it is a moral evil. You had another side that says, if we make all these changes, it's going to destroy our economy, and who are you to tell me what to do? And a lot of those soldiers that marched into battle weren't even wearing shoes on their feet. A lot of them, most of them, had guns where you could pretty much get off a shot, and then you're fighting for the next bit was just going to be using a bayonet or using your rifle as a club. When we were in Tennessee, I went to a Civil War battle site, and the docent who was explaining what happened there kind of showed us where the earthworks were and talked about, in this very short amount of time, that it went from this side and this side fighting to, they literally, the bodies were stacked up And in order to get through, they moved them to the side. It was almost like when you living in upstate New York and have these great snowstorms, and the snow's so high and digging tunnels to get through. They literally had stacks of dead bodies that people having to walk through. That's how mad they were. And in our country, we keep seeing these flare-ups here and there. I think of what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. What was it, a year ago, when there was a young black man that had been shot by a police officer. And immediately this wave went through the community of people feeling like an innocent person had been gunned down. And it was a wave of frustration and anger. And we saw it on the news. You saw people going up the street, throwing bricks through windows and turning police cars upside down and setting things on fire. And, you know, sometimes the tempests blow. We face hurricanes here, but sometimes there are political hurricanes. Or sometimes there are hurricanes that happen in your family, when all of a sudden something that you did not expect happens and some family member does something and you are completely shocked. The tempests blow. And it's in times like that you need to remember that the Lord is God. And He's our Lord. And He will be with you and He will help you. God doesn't abandon you when the storms come. The tempest may blow, the storm's cloud arise, obscuring the brightness of life. But I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Verse 3, I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evil betides. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close by my side? I know our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day, and our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. For I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, safe from all harm in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and fear no alarm. No matter what happens to us, we need to be people who live by faith. Situations will come up. I pray, and it would be a wonderful thing if this would be a week where you wouldn't have to deal with any situations. But they come up. And we can't disappear into worry. We can't get carried away by our emotions. We need to hold on to the Lord, and we need to live by faith, because the Lord can get us through. Turn with me over to 327. This one is like medicine for your soul. 327. Last night I had the most unusual situation that happened. I have a lady who's been my neighbor for, I think, 10 years. And I've had a wonderful relationship with her. I have trimmed her trees. I trim her bananas because she's convinced that there's always snakes hiding in her bananas. She's terrified of snakes, so I will trim her bananas for her. I have mowed her grass when she has been in between lawn people before. I've helped her move furniture. I've had her over to my house for dinner. I've prayed for her. And when her mother was real sick, I prayed for her mother. I'm sure if I think of some other things, I've tried to be a blessing to her. I saw her yesterday, and she had replaced the windows in her house, and I was very interested in her new windows, and I was asking her about them. And we talked for about 15 minutes, and then all of a sudden, something really odd happened. She just shifted, and we were talking about windows, and she said, "Don't tell me that you're going to pray for those people because of that school shooting. We don't need prayers. We don't need any more prayers. We need action. We need laws changed." And I stopped her and I said, what just happened? And then she goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." You know, and she just got in from, she was just been in the house watching TV, watching, getting her fix of CNN, C-SPAN, one of them. And she was riled up to the max. I mean, she was so filled to overflowing that I just happened to be someone who was talking to her about something, and it just, I got the overflow. And I'm like, "Pam, I'm just talking to you about your windows." Very troubled about that whole thing. And she went on to tell me how worried she is about things. She told me all her fears. She said that the way things are going, President Trump is setting things up so that he can be a dictator in our country. We're going to have a dictatorship. Everybody in the country needs to be carrying a passport, because if you are not white, you can be apprehended and kicked out of the country. And I'm like, where's all this stuff coming from? And for the next 2 hours, I was thinking and praying and trying. You know, sometimes when something happens to you, it takes a while to think about how, you know, you got to sort it out in your own head. It's like, what just happened? How do you respond to all this? And, you know, there are those that feel like her and that are ready to blow frustrated. You know, there are schools that last week, kids didn't come to school. It's a way of protesting, trying to make a statement. Well, I want to tell you how I found peace in that. Hymn number 327. "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." It's not like trying to hide, folks. It's trying to make sure that your foundation is where it needs to be. Your foundation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're living by faith, walking with him, he will give you wisdom to know the right way to go through things. Second verse, "Through death into life everlasting. He passed, and we follow him there." I had a doctor's appointment this week, and my doctor was telling me his philosophy of life, and oh gosh, because he knows I'm a minister, I think he saves up these unusual conversations to have with me. And as soon as the nurse leaves and he closes the door, I get an earful. And so he was saying, "You know, we all are born here and then we die. We don't know what's next." And they start talking about all these various religions. He goes, "You know, you never know, because no one's ever died and come back." And I said, and I held my finger up like that, and he goes, "Oh yeah, Jesus." There is somebody who died, and he came back. He says, "Through death unto life everlasting, he has passed, and we are following him there. Over us, sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors are we." Amen. There's hope for more in this life. We can have peace in the midst of any storm. We can have wisdom from God to know how to respond and how to process things and what it means to live as a Christian in this day. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I'll tell you what, when you have your eyes fixed on Jesus, then things come into proper focus. When you take and you take whatever the problem is and you focus on that, you're out of focus. Because you need to begin with your focus on Christ, and then everything else will fall into the place where it is supposed to be. His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go on to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. You know, the day and age we live in is a day and age that needs a faithful us. And you may work in a workplace where you got neighbors that want to fight and argue about things. Well, guess what? God has put you there. He has given you that job. It is a place where you know about situations that other people don't know about, and you can pray about them. And you can be a part of conversations at a lunch table where you can bring light where maybe it seems like there's nothing but darkness. God has put you there. Maybe the people that you are in school with, it just seems like it's just tons of stress or tons of craziness or tons of out of control living. Well, guess what? God's put you there, and he is able to use you. He is able to keep you so that you just don't get caught up in all of it, but that you shine in the midst of it. I want to share with you a wonderful little quote I keep in my Bible. When Carlos graduated, he asked me if I would give him a Bible for graduation. So I gave him a Bible. And in the back of it, I wrote this. And this is something I hold on to tight. The greatest miracle that God can do today is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make that man holy and put him back into that unholy world and keep him holy in it. You might live with sin all around you, but God can keep you steadfast, and God can use you. And maybe it will be something about your life as you stand steadfast, walking in faith, that will be the thing that helps others step out of the darkness into light themselves. Remember the story of Queen Esther. The way the whole situation worked out, Esther found herself in a place that a young lady like her shouldn't have been. She was a Hebrew woman. The king was looking for a new queen. All the lovely young ladies of the country, they went through to find the best of the best. And she was one that got selected for consideration. And somehow they didn't find out about her heritage. She found herself in a place where she had been brought up as high as a person could be brought. She's queen. And all of a sudden, a situation happened where a person in government who hated the Hebrew people was able to enact a bit of legislation so the Hebrew people could be exterminated. It seemed like there was nothing and there was no one that could stand in the way of this order. It seemed like it was such a well-crafted plan, nothing could stop it. Well, her uncle met with Esther, and he told her, he says, there is one who could step in and who could speak to the king and make a change. And she says, if I go to the king, unannounced. I could lose my life, even as the queen. For how it works is if the king wants to see you, he asks to see you. And he hasn't asked to see me for a while. And I don't know when he's going to ask next. But if I, unannounced, go to talk to him, and he does not extend his scepter in my direction, I'll be put to death. And her uncle said to her some very wise words. He said, maybe it is for this very time that you were put in this place. Well, the rest of the story is she prayed and fasted and she trusted God and went for it. And through her words and everything that fell out, that situation was able to be changed radically. But have you ever thought, maybe it's for a time just like this that you are in the place that you are in? You know, I know some of you in the church, your grandparents. Maybe the situation that your grandkids are going through, God's plan for how your grandkids are going to make it through is because they got either a grandma or they got a grandpa that is going to serve some very important role. Maybe one of the most significant things that you will do in your life is that influence you'll have on a grandchild. Maybe one of the biggest marks you'll make is on some young person that you work with. God knows what's going on. And more than this, he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And our trust needs to be in him. And the wisest thing we can do is to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I think some of you know this little chorus already. And we don't have any instruments playing right now. But if you know it, sing it louder. And let's try to sing it. Ready? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Verse 1. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. In the light of his glory and grace. Who knows what this week's going to hold? But we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And he's going to give us everything we need to be faithful, to be wise, and to make a difference. Amen? Let me pray for you. Dear God, our trust is in you. And I pray, Lord, that we would stand firm. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful reminder that we just need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and everything's going to be okay. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.